Amen. Only Jesus. Don't give me anything else, just Jesus. That'll get the job done. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, we would like to begin reading in the Psalms, the 25th division of the Psalms tonight. Once you found that place, you might want to go all the way back to Genesis chapter number 8, where we were this morning, and just hold your finger there. Genesis chapter 8. And I'll ask if you would please stand with me as we reverence the reading of God's holy word together. In Psalms 25, the Bible says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way." Now, hold your place in Psalm 25. Don't lose that. And go with me to Genesis chapter 8. We remember Noah's been on the boat some 5+ months on board the boat. And he's out there drifting. There's no more rain falling on the top of the boat. Things are quiet and calm outside because everything is completely drowned. And they're just afloat, just with all the animals and all the family of Noah on board the boat. It's completely quiet. And God remembered Noah. I wonder, as Noah was floating there, maybe in his mind he began to say, "Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I know you told me to build this. We're on it. The rains came. We floated just like you said. When we'll get off, how we'll get out, where we'll land, I have no steering wheel. I know not." He just prayed every day and served God. And God remembered Noah. Now don't lose your place. Let's hold that place. Let's pray. Father, we ask tonight, Lord Jesus, that you'd help us, God, to look into a portion of your word. And I pray, God, you'd help us to preach that which is pleasing unto thee this evening. We pray, God, you'd just direct our thoughts, our minds, and our tongues. And I pray, Father, you'd help us to preach the word of God with power. For we ask these favors in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. Now, we want to think about how God remembered Noah. This does not mean that God had forgotten Noah. Some people would read that verse and say, "Aha, God will forget us. He forgot Noah for some 5 months." This does not mean God forgets. However, it is true that God will forgive and forget our sins. Amen? Now go back there to Psalms 25, verse 7. What did the psalmist, Brother David, say? "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." He says, "Lord, I want you not to remember my sins. I want you to forget my sins. I have come and confessed my sins. You've been faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of my sins." In the Psalms chapter 103, did he not say, "As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us"? The Bible says in the Old Testament that he's taken our sins and cast them behind his back. They're not to be brought up against us anymore. He said he wouldn't remember those things anymore. But what's he talking about here with Noah? It's not as if God's not mindful of Noah, or not as if God's not watchful and very caring of Noah's situation. It's not as if God's just banished somewhere and he's off on vacation and Noah and his family and those animals are in the ark alone. Preachers, what it sounds like, God's forgot him. Sounds like God went on vacation when he says this. I believe what it means is that, we'll read this in verse 6 of Psalm 25. I believe that's what we're trying to build out of. Look what he says. He says, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old." Think what the Lord's trying to show us here tonight is that in the midst of God's wrath, his judgment was rained down upon the entire world, and all flesh drowned except those that got on board the boat. My friend, in the midst of his wrath, God remembered mercy upon Noah and was ready to deliver him off of that boat. So tonight, I want you to know that God, would you remember me in these latter days? Now, I remember Brother Mays Jackson. Y'all heard Brother Mays preach many times over here. Said the first church he pastored, he really wasn't qualified to pastor because he wasn't married yet. And some people, you know, that people don't necessarily have a problem with folks not being married. But the Bible says that that pastor ought to be the husband of one wife. That's what it means. And now I'm not trying to disqualify. Brother Percy Ray was never married. One of the greatest pastors this world has ever known. Amen. But Brother Mays was saying, making light, saying he wasn't really qualified because he'd never been married. And one of the deacons at the church said, "Well, preacher, the reason you ain't been married yet is because your standards are too high." He said, "If you'd lower your standards a little bit, you'd be able to get married." And he said the deacon fell on the altar and started praying. Said, reduce his standards. Bring him down a peg or two, a notch or two. Take him down. And Brother Mays fell on the other side of the altar and said, "God, don't hear a thing that deacon's got to say. Remember me in these latter days and send me a beautiful woman to fall in love with. Amen. God have mercy on me," is what Brother May said. I remember him telling that story. And God had mercy on him and sent Miss Dot his direction. And they were married for years and years and years. I want to say to you tonight, I believe tonight it'd be important for us to remember that God wants to remember mercy. God wants to remember his loving kindnesses. Not just loving kindness, but plural, his loving kindnesses all over the place. Want tonight to preach, God remember us. Amen. Now we see that in Genesis chapter 8, that the Lord remembered Noah. Didn't leave him out there on that boat. He had mercy and found a way for him to be delivered. In Genesis chapter number 19, if you would turn there with me. Genesis chapter number 19. That's our first point. Noah's been remembered. We see that. Our second point will be Abraham is remembered. Now, God had made a covenant with Abraham. He said, "Through you will be a people that's going to be formed. You're going to become as many as the sand of the sea," right? As the sand on the seashore. That's how many people's going to come from you. "You're going to be my people." And he established a covenant with Abraham and with Abraham's family. Now, Abraham, on his journey there, he had a nephew whose name was Lot. And that was a worldly young man. I believe he was a Christian. I believe he was a saved man. How do you know? The Bible says in the New Testament that God delivered just Lot. It don't mean only Lot. It means he justified him as if he had never sinned. Yet that man lived a worldly life. He was a very prosperous man. He was an official down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. Every one of the laws that he endorsed helped to establish the homosexuals. Here I go again. And the lesbians and the perverts, and allowed them to have freedom. And he endorsed those laws. Yes, he did. And he was responsible for those things. But remember, God come down there, and he sent two angels down to tell Lot to get his family and get out of Sodom and Gomorrah, because God was going to utterly destroy that entire city. You remember that story? And how the men of the city, They went groping after those two angels, trying to have some kind of relations with them. And even Lot said, here, I've got a daughter here that's a virgin. You do what you want to with her. Can you believe he'd even do such a thing and try to save those angels from having to get in that situation? And finally, in chapter number 19, verse number 12, remember they smote the men with blindness. Verse number 12, the men said unto Lot, these are the angels, hast there any here besides son-in-law and thy sons, thy daughters, whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You know why? He had lost his testimony. You know what? You used to stand for something. You used to stand for the Word of God. God's Word has not changed. I want you to know here that his sons-in-law began to mock at him. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened to Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Do you see there? God said, get out of this place. I'm trying to deliver you. And Lot lingered. I'll tell you what, friend. Don't linger. Get in the will of God. Don't linger behind. Don't lag behind and say, well, we'll see how things go over there in the gym. We'll see how things go with the church. Hey, get in there by faith for the glory of God. God's the same. You can serve Him the same here as you did over there. Don't linger around, amen. Now a lot, he's lingering around in the world. It's a different kind of situation. He's lingering around the world and thinks, well, maybe God will change his mind. Maybe he'll give them all a second chance down here. And his wife lingers and his two daughters linger. And the angels lay hold on him and pull him out. Why? The Lord being merciful unto him. I mean, when he lingered, basically he was really giving up his right to be delivered. But the angels caught hold of him, almost drug him out of there, the Lord being merciful unto him. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. And we realize in verse number 23, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. In other words, he got away from Sodom and Gomorrah. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now God's trying to be merciful. He said, I'm going to deliver you. And they lingered around. The angel caught hold of them and moved them on a little bit further. Again, Brother John Washburn, I hate to keep bringing it up, told that story this morning about that cow that wouldn't go through the wire or wouldn't go into the wire into the fence. He said, Lord, help me. And that cow came up from the bottom and came around and hit that one in the rear side and knocked it right on through. He's trying to be merciful and knock him right on through. While he lingered, he knocked him right on through. Yet still, can you see that little old calf? Oh, that little old cow there in John, can you see maybe it looked back there towards that fence and said, oh, for that nice green place where I used to be. I wish I could do all those things. That's not what that cow did probably, but it's what Lot's wife did. She had been delivered from fire and brimstone, but she looked behind and she was turned into a pillar of salt. Preacher, what do you mean? You're preaching on God remembered. God remembered, and I kind of see your point, but I want you to really grab it in verse 27, 28 and 29. Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, he was trying to pray, oh God, if there's 50 there, let them go that's righteous, let them go. If there's 45, let them go. If there's 40, 30. He went all the way down to 10, and they couldn't even find 10 there that was righteous. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. I'm telling you what, Abraham had prayed for them, yet Sodom and Gomorrah, the city, was ultimately cast down. Watch this verse, verse 29. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. And he sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, which he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. If it had not been for the prayers of righteous Abraham, when Lot was sent to angels, and they said, you got to get out of here, and he lingered. Had it not been for a praying uncle, he would have been destroyed. Yet because Abraham was praying, and God in his mercy, when wrath's ready to come, remembered mercy and said, get Lot out of there. And they flung him out. And yet his wife still looked behind. Had it not been for the prayers of a praying uncle, Lot probably would have been destroyed. Hey, had it not been for the prayers of a mama or a daddy, a grandma or a grandpa, I'd probably be on my way to hell tonight had it not been for their prayers, seeking God's face on my behalf. Hey, I wonder who is it you're interceding for tonight? Who is it you need to say, oh God, would you remember me? Oh God, would you remember my family? I have a nephew, I have a niece, I have a son, a daughter, a mom or a dad. That's in trouble tonight. You'd never know what a difference your prayer makes. Abraham looked out maybe at his kitchen window and saw the smoke rising. What he did not know is what was happening on the other side of his prayers. God had sent angels to move old Lot out. Hey, ain't you glad God remembered? Amen. I'm glad God remembered. What about Exodus chapter number 2? The children of Israel have gone down to live in Egypt. Joseph is down there, and Joseph finally's died now, and Jacob had come down there, and Jacob's died down there, and all of Israel, they come down there about 70 in number, and now there's hundreds and hundreds of them. And a new king arose, and he put taskmasters over the Israelites and put them in captivity. And in Exodus chapter number 2, verse number 23, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by the reason of bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. There they were in the bondage of sin, down there living in Egypt. And they began to cry out to God and call on his face. No more were they going to serve these false pagan gods and forget about the Lord God. But now they begin to remember him, and they begin to call on him in the midst of bondage and oppression. And God hears their cry, and he remembers mercy. And you know what he did? He called a young man by the name of Moses, a man that he trained up right down there in Egypt and then took back down there in the wilderness, amen, trained him up. He called Moses to come and deliver those people out of bondage. I'm trying to say tonight, God remembered Israel in the midst of their bondage. Church, I don't know, as a unit tonight, collectively, you may have oppression. You may feel like moving over here is a hardship. And I'm going to tell you what, God remembers why we're doing this. It's not for your comfort. It's not to make me a better person. But it is for the Lord God in glory, amen. It is why we are doing this project. And I want to say tonight, God remembered Israel, and he sent a deliverer, and God finally allowed them to be released from the oppression and the bondage of Egypt, and God will remember you, friend. God remembers, amen. Let's go on number 4. What about the book of Judges, chapter number 16? The book of Judges, chapter number 16. Young man by the name of Samson. Oh, God's hand was upon him in a mighty way. Spirit of God came upon him. And hell, I think he was just a little old piddly looking of a man. I don't think he was very big. I think he was very small and slender, of small stature. But when God's Spirit came upon him, he became bigger than life. He could overpower and do all kinds of things that man could not do when the strength and the Spirit of God got upon him. But Samson started relying on that, started thinking that strength of God was really in his own flesh. And he began to rely upon his own self. I don't tell you what, church, don't you rely on your own self. Don't you think your financial status or your social status, or because we've got this big fine building over here to come in, is going to guarantee or grant you anything? Oh, Samson started relying on the self. And look with me down here in chapter 16, verse number 20. He gave in to the wiles of a woman named Delilah. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep, and he said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself, and wist not that the Lord was departed from him. You see, because of his sin, because he got the self in the way, and started getting lifted up in pride, God's Spirit left him, amen. I want to say to you, church, you be real careful. And everything you do, you acknowledge the Lord. And everything you do, you seek His name first. Don't you get caught up in the building. You get caught up in Him, amen. He'll take care of the rest. Old Samson got struck on himself and saw, I'll just go out there and fight as I did at other times. But when he got out there, he did not know the Lord's power was not upon him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Verse 23, then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. In other words, they're saying, our God Dagon is greater than the God that Samson served. You see, Samson's sin became a reproach not only to Samson, but to the people of God and to the name of God. Now I'm telling you what, friend, they began to sport at Samson. When the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered in our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass when their hearts were married that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. Can you imagine how they made a spectacle of the man of God? Spat upon him and mocked him and mocked the name of God and the people of God. I'm telling you what, there's Samson, that great, weak, strong man. There he is between those two pillars. Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. I believe right there is a cry out saying, I know my wrong. I know my sin. I know my error. And I know that I have to bear the chastisement on it. Oh God, if you'd remember me just one more time. I pray thee, strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. He bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. You hear what happened, y'all? He got down there and he realized his error and he confessed his sin, I believe, and said, Lord, remember me. And you see what will happen? When you call the Lord and ask him to remember you, he'll come and take your sin. And he may not wipe away your consequence, but he'll wipe away that sin which is held against you, my friend. And he restored him and he gave power back to him and strength back to him. I'll never forget Brother J. Harold Smith. He told me one time he was getting ready to pray and bowed his head and he started praying. He said, Lord, right before service, said, Lord, I just ask that you'd help me one more time to preach. He didn't ask for the rest of the week. He just asked for that one night. He probably prayed that each and every day. Because you know what? It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. I'm telling you what, it was the mercy of God. When a sinkhole came right over here in this parking lot, that it wasn't worse than it was, and slid this whole building down off the side of this mountain right here. He could have done that whole thing, and what would we have done? And where would we have turned? But God was merciful. And He allowed that sinkhole to come to allow us to have an expanded parking lot. And I thank Him for that tonight. Yes, we spent money on it, but what a great opportunity it was to serve Him. Friend, you hear me tonight? Oh, Samson said, Lord, just once, give me power again. I tell you what, y'all. You'd do well if you could have the power that you once had. You'd do well. And Samson, God remembered him. Even when he had sinned,
He forgave him and restored him his power. Friend, I don't know what your secret sin is tonight. I don't know when you leave these doors, what you do in the privacy of your own home. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're in sin, God sees it. God sees it and He's not pleased with it. And no wonder we ain't got the power we used to have, the power we once had, because we go home and gossip and slander and rumor and do God knows what with God knows who and say God knows what about God knows who. And God's not pleased with it. God's got a standard, and He said for me to lift up the standard. Whether you like it or not, that doesn't matter. My job's to preach the Word of God. And friend, I want to exhort you, make sure, make well sure that you live in the boundaries of the Word of God. But and if you sin, there is a God who is merciful, full of grace and loving kindness. And you can get on your knees at an old-fashioned altar and allow Him, my friend, to fall on your face there and say, Lord, would you forgive me in your mercy? And I'm telling you, the grace of God would meet you there and forgive your sins and restore the power that you once had. And you'd have fellowship and strength once more. I'm telling you, y'all, we need the power of God upon our lives again. We see how God had remembered Samson. What about over here in 1 Samuel, chapter number 1? 1 Samuel, chapter 1. Young lady by the name of Hannah. Verse 5 says, But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Hannah couldn't have any children because the Lord had shut her womb. Verse number 10 says, She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord, and she wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, If thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, do you hear that? And remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. I'm telling you what, she was burdened to have a child. She didn't feel like she was even a woman if she couldn't bear a child unto her husband and have a child to comfort her own heart. She began to pray and weep bitterly about it. I'm telling you, she got in bitterness of soul. She got under a burden. I'm telling you, she probably prayed the way they did over there at Fletcher that night when that man died up there in the sound room. And I heard people around me start praying. And I'm telling you, I've been around some great prayer warriors in my time. But I've never heard anybody pray like they were praying that night when that man died up in the balcony, that God would restore him back to life again. I've never heard such a prayer in all my life. And I'm telling you, I feel privileged to have been in such a circumstance to see the miracle of God when God heard their prayers and remembered those things and restored that man back to life. I want to tell you what, y'all. I believe God. I had a young lady by the name of Hannah who became so burdened that she prayed even more fervently, even more heartfelt did she pray than they were praying at Fletcher that night. She called on the name of the Lord. Look with me down in verse number 18. Now the man of God Eli has come and said, verse number 17, Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. What is it you've been asking the Lord about? I mean burdened. I mean so bad it makes your soul bitter and you get weary and you're calling on Him and calling on Him and calling on Him and you're pouring your heart out. Or do you even do that? I dare say we don't get burdened like we ought to. We simply say a few words of prayer and get up and go about our business. But I'm telling you, she was fervent in her prayer. And the man of God said, The God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of Him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Did you hear that? She got up, hearing the words from the man of God, and her countenance was no more sad. She hadn't had a baby yet. She hadn't even got pregnant yet. But she believed God. Amen. And she got up rejoicing. Woo! When was the last time that God spoke something to us and we just began to rejoice because of what He said? That ain't what we do though, is it? He tells us what He's going to do and we don't get happy until He does it. And we begin to think if He does it, we'll have something. I like what you're saying up there, preacher. If God does it, we'll have something. I'm telling you what, Hannah didn't say if, amen. She said, I just believe you. And she got up and her heart was no longer sad. Now the Bible, look in verse number 19. The Bible says, they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Guess what happened? She got pregnant, amen. And they had a little boy by the name of Samuel. And she kept little Samuel until she'd weaned him. And she took him to the house of God. And that's the place that he would serve the rest of his life. He didn't even live in her home. She just gave him back to God. He became the prophet God used for the nation of Israel. Hey, I want to ask you something. You may be contemplating having a child. Boy, you ought to seek God's face about that. You may be contemplating here at the church seeing somebody get saved. That's, you see, until Zion travails, you'll see no people being saved. You'll see no more children born in the family of God until Zion travails. I mean, when was the last time you as a people got on your face and said, oh God, would you save somebody? Would you save my uncle? Would you save my cousin? And you did it fervently. And when God says, I'm going to save them, you'll just jump up and say, woo, glory, I can't wait to see what happens. I told you a few weeks ago about what happened there at the church when the young man ran into the prayer room and said, God's going to save my mama. And she wasn't even at the church yet. He'd been praying there. She got up and said, God's going to save my mama. And he came out, remember, out of the prayer room. And the preacher looked at him and said, son, is your mama here? And he said, not yet, but she's coming. They got up and sung in the choir and came back down. Preacher looked behind him and said, son, is your mama here? He scanned the room and said, no, not yet, but she's coming. The preacher got up and preached the word of God, gave the invitation. And a young man fell on the altar there, and the preacher bowed with him, said, is she here yet? He said, not yet, but preacher, she's coming. And the preacher began to think, oh my Lord, she's missed the whole service. And about that time, in through the back door swung open, walked a woman and said, and she began to weep and said, I'm here to get saved tonight. God spoke to me over there on the couch when I was laying out of church tonight. God spoke to me, and I've got to get saved, amen. Well, I'm telling you what, they shouted it out, amen. She fell on that altar, and she got gloriously saved. I'm telling you, when's the last time you got burdened about a soul being saved? I mean, that just makes me wonder. We've moved from that building to this building. Who the first one's going to get saved over here is? Don't you look at me like, well, if somebody gets... Don't you look at me like that. I believe God's going to do something, amen. I'm telling you what, amen. Her countenance was no longer sad, and she believed God, and God remembered her, and He had mercy on her. I'm telling you what, when till Zion travails, which represents the church, you'll see nobody being saved. You'll see no children born. Hey, Zion, let's travail. Let's call on the Lord to save sinners and watch and see what will happen, amen. Hey, God has mercy, does He not, to save souls? He's still in the saving business. Bless His holy name. What about Luke chapter 23? Luke chapter 23. Jesus has been taken up Calvary's hill. Laid Himself down there on the cross. And they drove those nails in His hands and stood Him up and on the cross and drove those nails in His feet. And there hung the precious Son of God. Between two thieves. They began to mock Him at first. And finally one of them said, hey, this man's done nothing amiss. What did he say in Luke 23, verse 41, verse 40? But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God? Luke 23, verse 40. Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the dear reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus didn't just let that go unnoticed. He didn't have to have mercy right there, love and kindness or grace. But Jesus, I'm telling you, when as soon as He called on him, I believe He looked over and said, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You see what happened? God had remembered him. Ain't you glad that night God remembered you? When you was on, hallelujah, when you was on your way to a devil's hell and conviction came, and you sit there shaking and just worried what so-and-so is going to think or what so-and-so might say, and finally the can't help it's come, and it didn't trouble you no more about what they said. The only thing mattered was, I've got to get saved before I go to hell. And you went down that old-fashioned altar, and you called on Him and begged Him to save you. And in His mercy, in His mercy, He looked down and said, you deserve judgment, you deserve death, but by the blood of Jesus Christ who died for you, I'm going to send you grace and save your wretched soul that one day you'll be with me in the city of glory. I want to say hallelujah for the fact that us thieves have been remembered, amen, and He saved our wretched soul. Bless His name. What about over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11? God knows your situation, y'all. You're not forgotten. You're not forgotten. He remembers. He knows all about it. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul's writing here about what the Lord had shown him. The Bible says in verse 23, middle of the verse, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. Now I'm glad God has remembered, answered our prayer requests, and saved our souls. I'm telling you what, you and I need to be remembering Him. It's amazing in this life we get so busy, and we'll remember a lot of things and forget a lot of things. And if you ain't careful, the one thing you neglect is the one thing it's needful for your life. That's to serve the Lord. And to get at His feet, spend a little time there. I'm telling you what, we need to remember the Lord. And He said, this do in remembrance of Me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. After the same manner also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me. Boy, I'm glad through just a simple taking of the bread and drinking of the grape juice, those things that might spoil one day, just some little simple thing. He's built a monument that you and I might remember Him. I'm telling you what, we ought to remember Him more than just that. I ought to remember Him when we get up. I ought to remember Him at lunchtime before we eat. I ought to remember Him in the evening time before we go to bed. I ought to remember Him all day long. He's had mercy on us. And boy, how that ought to bless us. Say, preacher, what about could He ever forget me? Will God, can God ever forget me? As I close, we'll turn back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, and just read two verses. Isaiah 49, verse 15 and 16. These verses are so important. You ought to underline them and mark them in your Bible somehow. Isaiah 49, verse 15. Let's don't forget the Lord. He certainly not forgot about us. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? What a question. I watched the other day as they found a baby in the back of a car unclaimed. I saw the other day they found a baby laid in a dumpster unclaimed. Can a woman forget her sucking child and that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Do you see that? Turn against her own children. Yet will I not forget thee. Makes me want to run. I ain't took a lap here just yet. It makes me want to run. He says, yet will I not forget thee, hallelujah. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of My hands. Look at them. Those hands, nail scarred for you and me. I think the only thing man ever did that'll be in heaven is those nail scars. And man only did it because Jesus allowed it. In His mercy. And every time, I'm telling you, every time the Father gets ready for wrath, the Son says, but Father, I died for them. Would you have mercy? Woo! He has mercy when we call on Him and ask Him. I'm telling you what, God has remembered. And that makes me want to shout, amen. Now you stand with me tonight, and your heads are bowed. There's nobody looking. We preach just as quick as we need to preach. Brother Seth, Miss Linda, if y'all would come to instruments. I probably had an invitation on a Sunday night, and I couldn't tell you when. God spoke to me tonight while I was preaching, said, you open that altar. Hey, somebody needs to remember me. Hey, somebody needs to bow because I've remembered them. They need to remember me. You better mind Him tonight. What He's told you to do, you better do.